Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Q&A podcast on Inside the Birds YouTube channel. I am one of your hosts, Jason Avant. I'm here with my main man, Quentin Michael. Q, say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody? Glad to be back for another installment. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about. So with further ado, let's get it.
Let's get into it. Before we do that, let's do some house cleaning. Make sure that you guys follow us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Inside the Birds YouTube channel, also Amazon, Apple Music. Catch our podcast anywhere. We have multiple shows on Inside the Birds platform. And also email your questions to insidethebirds@gmail.com. We have a couple questions here today, so make sure that you email your questions to insidethebirds@gmail.com. Eagles had the victory 35-13. Q, take it over, baby.
Yeah, man. Topic one. Let's talk about this this return of the big shot play. All right. AJ Brown had a phenomenal game. How important do you think it was to get the big plays, the big shots back into the Eagles offense?
I think that in order for us to compete, we've been talking about this a bunch. In order for us to compete with the Bills, right, who's averaging 32 points a game, in order to compete with the Chiefs. I said that wrong. The Chiefs, 32 points a game. The Bills, 29 points a game. Us, number three, 28 points a game, right? So in order to compete with those teams and be able to score points with them, you need the shot play. And you see how effective it is. Yes, we hit most of them this week. But even if you don't hit them, you back the defense up. Even if you don't hit them, you may get a pass interference. You're giving yourself a chance to play the game without being perfect. Absolutely. Right. So I think this is the way to go in order to win the Super Bowl. Do I think that we can beat a lot of teams by mashing ground and pound? I think so. We've seen the Titans go have some pretty good success over the last few years of running the football. But what happens in the playoffs?
You can't throw it. Yeah.
Because you can stack the box. You can figure out a way to divide the scheme against the run. But if you have that equal throwing ability or even better, you can go to a different level. What do you think about it?
I agree, man. It was huge. It was funny to me because watching the entire game, the Steelers played a lot of man single high concepts early on. And after those two big shots, it was like, okay, now we're there and they're two deep coverage. Now the running game gets back into it. Now you can hit, you know, Dallas Goedert over the middle and get him some balls, a lot of in-breaking routes from
Devontae Smith.
Exactly. So by throwing those deep shots and having success with it early, it changes not only the offensive game plan, but it also takes away what the defense is willing to do. And it really puts them on their heels, and it really makes it to where the offense can now dictate how they want this game to go. And I really think that was key in how easily the Eagles, especially this offense, just dismantled this team.
Yeah, I agree. Agree 100%. And
So let's move on. So now they're coming off the bye week. Obviously they had a week to kind of prepare. As we talked about last week, they had a week to, kind of self scout and stuff. So do you think that the Eagles team used that bye week to really work on getting that deep shot back into the offense?
I think that's the case. Now it helps that you're going against the Steelers because the Steelers are missing Levi Wallace. They're missing, I think it's Carl Joseph, a few other people that were slotted to compete for starting positions in their secondary. So when you have a banged up secondary, that's one thing. But again, they self-scouted and say, hey, when do we score the most points? When was our offense rolling? Oh, we ran the ball. We were effective running the ball, but it shortens the game and we can't score as many points. And some of these games are closer than what we like doing it this way. Why not get out to a bigger lead by doing some of these shot plays? All those things happen by doing that self-scout. And yes, we need to get AJ Brown down the field. And when you're winning football games and you're playing the game, you get into situational football and you forget about the alerts. You forget about, oh, I have to take shots, because you're trying to convert a third down. You're trying to score in a red zone. You're trying to do a 2-minute drill. You're trying to do 4-minute drill. You're trying to run base offense. Like, you're focusing on the game, and it can blind your vision pretty quickly. So when you take a step back to have the bye week, now you see, oh, we haven't been shooting the ball down the field. Let's make a concerted effort. They need a block on the game plan, that big sheet that every coach that calls the plays have, that's highlighted in red or blue or green, something bizarre and weird from all other black and white. Shots, and then mark them off. This one worked, circle it. They come back into it later. We need that in the game plan. Nobody has that, but we need that.
And I agree. And the thing that's crazy too is every one of these receivers can go down the field and get the ball. Every one of these receivers can go down and compete for contested balls. You know, they have the speed to get down the field. They have very good route runners, so it's very, very exciting time for this once this deep ball starts to really get rolling. So yeah, man. Yeah.
They I knew it was game plan wise, because they put Quez out wide and threw him a go ball. I was like, yeah. We just talked about it, right?
Yeah, man. And AJ, I have to say this too, man. He single handedly won my fantasy this week, man.
How many points did he give you?
He got me, I think it was like 35 last time I checked. Oh, I ran away with it. It was a close game. It was close because my opponent has some good players, but AJ took it and ran with it. So, and yeah, he could have had two more touchdowns. A lot of people, did you? Well, so there's the one that we got tackled. And are we going to go over that a little bit?
Yeah.
There's one where he pulled away a little bit and got tackled, but there was another one heading, I think it was in the third quarter.
It was underthrown. It was on underthrown.
On the in-breaking route?
The one he dropped.
Yeah.
Well, he dropped two. Him and Devontae Smith dropped two passes apiece that game.
Yeah.
Right? So it was starting off shaky. I was like, ooh, come on, y'all. Let's go. So he dropped two. He dropped two passes, and then Jalen underthrew him on one. So, yes, this could have been a 250-yard game.
Yeah, it was crazy.
With four touchdowns. Yeah.
So, so moving on. I guess now we can talk about the big trade, mm-hmm. Right? Should we move to that part, or you want to continue with?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
The big – my man Robert – Quinn, all right. What the Eagles give up? Fourth round pick.
Eagles gave up a fourth round pick for Robert Quinn.
Got Robert Quinn from the Bears.
Yep.
What do you think this means for the defense for the Super Bowl run?
We lost Derek Barnett for the season. You gain that production back plus some. A guy that had 18 and a half sacks last year. A guy that has gone to the Pro Bowl three times. A guy that's been over 10 and a half sacks, I believe, five times, right? This dude has 102 career sacks. So it's a dude that knows how to get to the quarterback. And he's at the stage in his career where winning a championship is what he's playing for. He's got money. He's got Pro Bowls. He argument, he wins the Super Bowl, get another 15, 20 sacks. You start talking about an outside Hall of Fame type of career, right? So that those are the things that are in his grasp. And he knows that he has to – I'm not saying that he's a Hall of Famer. What I'm saying is that he continues to have high production over these next couple years, next two, 3 years, and he wins some Super Bowls. You got to start considering the man. So he's here for the right reasons. He wants to be here because he wants to win a championship. You know, and I know the Eagles wanted him here, and this is the type of team – that you can come to and win a championship. And I love his interview when he said, I just don't want to mess it up. I got to find, you know, my lane basically and find production for the team. Unlike a Bradley Chubb, who's still trying to get the bag, who's still, you know, worried about the ego and playing and all those things. Robert Quinn is going to play his role. He's going to get more reps. Jordan Davis is out right now. So they're going to add, you know, some type of NASCAR speed rush package in order to just kind of supplement that, right? So I think it's a great trade for a million different reasons, but also for Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat has been self-taught. I know Brandon Graham is there, and Brandon Graham is a really, really good player that can help teach. But Brandon Graham, when it comes to pass rushing, just talent, him and Robert Quinn are both good, but Robert Quinn kind of has natural pass rushing moves and ability and has the body type that's closer to Josh Sweat. So I think he can learn a lot from him.
That's absolutely right. You know, when I was with the Rams, my second year with the Rams is when they drafted Robert Quinn. And you could tell right off from the start how the thing that was crazy for me is like he's bigger than he looks. He's got like skinny legs, but he's bigger than he looks. He's very long, but he's very athletic. I mean, yeah. he reminds, like you said, he reminds me of Sweat. Now, he slowed down a little bit. He's a little bit older, but just watching him and the way he rushes and how he's able to bend his body and get around that edge and get some of these taller, less athletic left tackles is going to be phenomenal. And I think that's something that he's going to, like you said, he's going to teach Sweat a few tricks to prolong his career. He's going to teach him a few things to, you know, get him to the next level. And so yeah. I agree, man. I think it was a great pickup. I think he's going to do nothing but help us. And like you said, he's in the right mindset right now. He just won win. Yeah. He just wants to win. So that was big.
I want you to like explain to everyone that's watching, because I've seen you go through some things, right? You're here when they draft Sean Considine, you're here when they draft Quentin Dempsey, right? And the way that you know that you have to be a good teammate, but you also want to win the job because you're fighting for reps, right? You don't want to get your position taken. Like, how are these guys able to invite him in as a teammate and be helpful, but at the same time try to, you know, compete as well? How do you deal with that?
I think the biggest thing is that, especially with this defense and this defensive front, everyone has had success in this league. Everyone on that defensive front, there's no egos. They all understand what's at stake. They all got paid at some point in their careers. They've all been, you know, leaders in sacks and, you know, considered the best players on their teams. And so for me, I think coming into the locker room, it's first being humble and understanding, and that which Robert is. He's always been like he's real quiet. He's a funny guy. Great teammate, phenomenal teammate, works his tail off every week. But I think when you come into a situation like where it's Philly, where they're already, you know, on the up and up, everyone's kind of set in their spots. You just really, in your mindset, you're just a role player and you're just coming in to do what you're asked to do. And I think a lot of times, especially GMs, don't really understand that part of it, the locker room part of it, and how important it is to bring in someone that can mesh with your team, that will get out there and work their tails off. So I think that this was a phenomenal pick on and off the field to bring him in at a time where they're just on a run. He had the injuries like we talked about before, and then now he can just step in, and when he's needed, he can get after the quarterback, man.
Yeah, I thought that the way he handled that press conference was class, class, class. Because absolutely, the worst thing you can do on a winning football team or any football team is to have so much bravado that you offend your teammates and they create an idea of who you are before you even get there. And there's a lot of guys that do that. Well, I'm going to be wearing this number and somebody's already wearing that number, or I'm starting and, or, you know, it's just talking too much, right? Just go there, do your job, your play. There's nothing like showing why you're better than someone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing like that. And even your teammate can't refute that because it's on tape all the time.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And it's a difference between talking it and pissing people off and then going out there and dominating. And then you be like, oh, I see. He got to get reps. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing you can do with that. You know what I mean? Okay, there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing you can do with that. You know, I remember people trying to hold me back from it for a lot of years. You know what I mean? But after a while, I was like, dude, you got to play. Like, you're in front of me, but you got to play. Like, what can you do about it?
Exactly. And we've all, I mean, I've dealt with that too. And you mentioned, you know, the Considine thing, and it's tough, man. But like, I think too, people, you know, it's kind of a gift and a curse. A guy like Robert Quinn, who hasn't had a chance to be on a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you said, he's done everything. All it is for him to win. So, you know, being on a losing team, your most of your career, even though you've had success, that'll bring that out of you as well. But, yeah. I don't want to get too much into my personal stuff with with that, but it sucks, no man. So
no worries. Right, I did want to say this, and I know we're gonna jump a little bit around, but I did want to say this about AJ Brown, because I think AJ Brown kind of, if we were playing chess, AJ Brown would be the queen, because AJ Brown can move in any direction. He's not limited. He doesn't need much help from everybody else to get the job done or things accomplished. So him being on the field and you having him just going to expedite and help everybody else play well. And I just think he's that central piece for receiving core that you need, because there's times where you ever notice in the NBA finals, when the defense is tight or the playoffs is really tight and they're trying to run offense and the offense really doesn't work, you just need a guy to go one-on-one and make a shot.
Yep.
That's what all games come down to. And the same is true in the game of football. Like, you can have all of these great plays and these schemes and all that stuff, but when it's nut-cutting time and it's third down or the game is on the line, you ain't thinking about all those motions. You're trying to get the best player the ball. You know what I mean? All those tricks are good for the first three quarters.
Yep.
They're not, you know, when it's go time, you need a player. And I'm glad we got that player on our team, especially from the receiver position. And we got a few, but that player is just different because he can beat you every way. He can beat you catching the short, running it deep. He can beat you from the slot. He can beat you outside. He can beat you down the field. Like, he's the most talented receiver we've had since CL. It's just the truth. He's the most talented one. I'm not saying that we haven't had talented guys, but clearly he's the most talented overall talent.
Yeah.
He's a
matchup nightmare, man.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, he can line up anywhere.
Yeah. You, to be that quick and fast, and then you can Debo people too, shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The first touchdown he got, that shouldn't have been thrown. That was in the double coverage. Minka Fitzpatrick was right there.
That was the third one. The third one was Minka got there. The second one, Minka was late, but it was the third one that he was the third one.
He was right there.
Yeah.
And that right there, especially too, like when you have a young quarterback and they trust you enough to, you know, put the ball in, like we talk about, put the ball in harm's way and you make them right. Mm-hmm. That's huge for a young quarterback. And it's almost.
You meant the first deep one, because Minka was there on the first deep one too. Yeah, so it was two of them. They were there. So it was two of them. It was the first one and the third one. The first one and the third one. The second one, he should have beat him. But the first one and the third one, he threw the one up in double coverage. Yeah. And he went to go
and
get
he
it.
He got it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the tail of the tape. Like, first of all, and I know we're not, I don't want to stay on this subject too long, but what happened to the Steelers, man? Watching that game, that doesn't even look like the same team, man. I know they got some injuries, young quarterback, but they just look bad, man.
You just don't, like, when you lose a quarterback and you lose, and even though Ben was bad, older, there's still a baseline of play that he's going to require.
Yeah.
And they lost that. And then they just don't have the same dogs on defense as they used to. All those guys are old and retired. The Pouncies are gone. Cam Hayward is old. You don't have two corners. You don't have Hayden. You don't have, you know, you got Devin Bush and another guys that are, they're athletic dudes, but they're not headbusters. Like, they can't get it right all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Steelers did a great job with getting it right for a lot of years, and they were able to get it right because their quarterback position was solid. Now you can focus on everything else. Now your quarterback position is bad. Now everything, now you got nothing to make up for.
Yeah.
The quarterback can hide the linebacker problems. The quarterback can hide some of the receiver problems. But when the quarterback is bad, it just highlights everything.
It was bad.
All right, let's get going.
Man.
All right, let's get into this Mojo read. Mojo is building the sports stock market where you can invest in your favorite players. Invest in what you know. Turn sports knowledge into real money with Mojo, the sports stock market. Real stats, real value. Shares entitle you to guaranteed payout based on career-ending stats. No off days, no off-season. Share prices rise and fall constantly in real time based on career-long projections. Cash out anytime. Build a portfolio and buy and sell your own terms. Every play, every game, or every season. Mojo is available in New Jersey on iOS, and by just downloading the app, you have a chance to win up to $10,000 in free shares of player stock. Click the link in the description for a chance to win up to $10,000 in free shares of player stock. Must be 21 years and physically located in New Jersey to trade on Mojo. Have a gambling problem? Help is available at 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's go over our Mojo.
Let's go some of our picks, man. Who do we like?
Let's go.
Of course, we got to talk about AJ Brown. He's up 7.74%. In the pregame, he was $18.04. Postgame, he was worth $19.44. He had 3 touchdowns for 113 yards in the first half. He totaled 6 receptions for 156 yards, 3 TDs at the end of the game. This is the first time an Eagles receiver has had 3 receiving touchdowns of 20 or more yards in a game since the ESPN began tracking this. That's what do you think? Is that still good price? I mean, 19 is getting
So I love, you know, we're birds. So we want AJ Brown to do well, but I'm not spending my money on AJ Brown going up 7.4% because we have this thing in Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni. If AJ Brown has a good game, guess who wants to have a good game? Devontae Smith. We got to get Devontae Smith involved. So the next game may go to Devontae Smith. So I'm not going with the roller coaster up and down with the Philadelphia Eagles trying to figure out who gets the ball and who isn't getting the ball. I think Jalen Hurts knows that his bread is buttered with AJ Brown, but some type of way the coaching and the game plan is always to get the other guy that same amount of catches in production. So you can't ride that roller coaster. I want my guy going like this or staying consistent the whole time. And I don't think AJ Brown is going to stay consistent.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. So you're like a buy the dip type of guy.
I think he's going to go to Pro Bowl, but I think he's going to be a good game or great game, a good game, a great game, okay game. Like, you know, I don't think that they're going to feed him the ball the way that, you know, they're going to feed Stephon Diggs the ball. I don't think they're going to feed the ball the same way. They don't do that. They kind of spread it around a little bit more.
Okay. All right, let's go around the league then. Let's look at a couple possible risers. What are you thinking of Taylor Heinicke? Looks like he's plus 9.33%. Pre-game, he was 11.19. Post-game, $12.23. 23-31.
I think Taylor Heinicke is one of those ones that you can put a little stock into.
Yeah.
Because I think that the team plays well with him. They have won, what, 3 straight with him in the lineup right now? So that what are they, 4-4? The Commanders are 4-4 now. They've won 3 straight. And I think the team rallies around him, and I think that he's going to get better as the season goes on. And guess what the NFC is this year? It's a weak conference. So you're playing a lot of teams that cannot play football right now. So Taylor Heinicke's stats are probably going to continue to grow and get better.
Okay. All right. Yep. I like it. He reminds me of Fitz Magic a little bit.
Fitz Magic? Yeah, you know, up and down. All right, let's talk about some of the fallers.
Yeah, what we got? Where's my sheet?
Oh, all you right, got some it. Fallers.
Derek Carr. Ooh. What are you thinking there? He's minus 4.36%.
I'm going
Freaking.
down. I'm going down. Boy,
He's
talk about implosion
$73.
in Raider Land. Oh my gosh. All we heard about is Devontae Adams. Oh. Chandler. Oh. All of this stuff. Nope. He got to play better, though. He got to play better than what he is. But 70, 73 bucks? Nah.
That's
I
a
ain't
lot
messing
of
with that.
cash.
That's too high. That's too high. You know who's going to continue to go down? Is Najee Harris.
Oof. Yeah.
Listen,
He.
dude, I don't care who, I don't care how well your line is blocking. Like, when you are first round pick at, like, look at what Saquon did with such a bad line his rookie year. Like, that line was really bad his rookie year. They were not good. Saquon Barkley still almost averaged 5 yards a carry. You can't be averaging 3.3 yards a carry, man, and be a first round pick. That ain't good. I don't care what you say. And did you see the play that he had this week when he was right by the first down and stopped? I was like, boy, man, come sit over here. Hey, go get him. Sit him next to me.
I was like, who are you shaking, man?
Yeah, man, go get the first down and know the situation. 3.3 yards a carry average, Ma. All right, let's get off. All right. Make sure that you guys check out Mojo for the player stock market. Again, if you have any problems, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 years and over. All right, topic two. Let's talk about the Eagles and the Texans. Eagles are still undefeated. Phillies are sort of overshadowing them on this Thursday night. Who decides to put the Eagles and the Phillies on at the same time? Something got to give.
That's messed up, man.
You know what? I think it's baseball's opportunity to stick it to the NFL. Because, you know, the NFL don't give a damn about who they step on when it comes to, like, their time, their game time.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So I think that the baseball really thinks that they can compete with the NFL, but I don't know. I think that baseball is going to have better ratings. You know why?
Thursday night's game.
Freaking Amazon Prime.
Oh, my God.
That's why. Like, that's why. Like, if I get to watch the game on ABC, NBC, well, I don't know which game it comes on, but I'm pretty sure it's like a nationally televised, no cable, World Series usually is.
Yeah.
And then you got to go freaking watch Amazon Prime. You know how many people over 50 years old hate the NFL guts for that? I was walking down the street today. It's like, oh, man, the game's on, but it's on Amazon Prime, man. I may not be able to watch the game. Older person talking to me. It's like, man, you know how to, you know, show me how to work it. So it wasn't intentional, but because it was a rain delay, it happened like that. But it was still, they still can move it back. If I was the MLB, I would to you know, because the NFL still is supreme. But
yeah,
in this situation with Amazon Prime, you may never know what's gonna happen.
I mean, these Thursday games, I love the NFL. I love watching the games. These Thursday night games have been just bad. There's just been bad games. So I'm hoping that the Eagles show out on Thursday night.
But there's still going to be a bad game.
Yeah.
If they show out and blow the Texans out, it's still a bad game.
But that's all right. That's all right, because it's the Eagles blowing somebody out. I'll take it.
All right. So, look, we're undefeated right now, right? How much longer do you think we're going to stay undefeated?
Let me look at the schedule, because I don't think we talk about this schedule is so easy on the way.
We have the Texans, we have the Colts, we have the Packers, we have the Titans, we got the Giants twice, got the Commanders one more time, the Cowboys, got the Saints.
It I feel like there might be one slip up in there somewhere. You're looking at the Giants. I'm thinking Giants, that's always going to be a tight game. They're going to do whatever it takes to win. You know, you still got the Packers who Aaron
Playing
Rodgers
bad.
is playing bad. They don't have any receivers, but you just can't ever count that guy out. The Commanders are kind of coming back. They got Heinicke. We already talked about him. So I do think that they can run the table. But I think the two slip-ups will be those two Giants games towards the end of the season, because that team really scares me because of how dangerous and how willing they are to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah. They got a few good corners that can run. A few good saves. They got a good team. I think they have a good team. Now, I think that the Eagles are going to be undefeated for a while. At least for the next three, four weeks. For a while. And I think that it may happen in that Packers-Titans stretch. That would be one. But I know that the last game of the season they may lose because they may not need it.
Yeah.
Unless they're undefeated, they may go for it.
That'd be pretty sweet, though, to go for it, right?
Yeah.
Sirianni,
undefeated. If somebody get hurt, he's getting fired.
True.
So yeah, so that's there fair. It is. I they're going to go for a while. All right. So Thursday night, talk about how the teams prepare for Thursday night game. We just played on Sunday. You got Monday, Tuesday. You fly out on Wednesday. Thursday game starts. Like how I remember when they started doing this. I was like, man, come on.
I don't think people understand how difficult that is.
Yeah.
Like your body does not even start to feel better till like Wednesday,
Thursday, Friday.
Thursday. And then you're back playing another game. It's just crazy. The only thing I did like about the Thursday games was, well, two things. I like that you had like the little mini bye week after the Thursday game. You get that Tuesday, you get that Friday and, you know, Saturday off. So you get a few extra hours. But other than that, game plan wise, I loved how when we went into those Thursday games, the game plan was very, very simple. Like it was almost like back in high school football, like just basic cover three, basic cover two. Like it was, and you knew that the opposing team was going to keep it very basic as well, because you have a normal week of preparation cut down all the way basically to a day and a half. And so the game plan was very simple and concise. And it was just like, let's just go out there and play ball and see where it goes. So that's the only two things I like. Everything else I absolutely hated about their Thursday night games.
Yeah. We would carry over offensively as much as we could from the previous game, right? So put in a lot of plays in the previous game plan that kind of correlated with that team that we were playing. And if whatever plays we didn't run, we would carry that over to Thursday night. And yeah, you start getting into more of your base game plan, stuff that you learned during training camp, things like that, that you don't have to think about. Not many nuances or changes, maybe one or two things that was different, but you know, we carry more plays from last week. And also you get into more your base offense, your plays that you know, like the back of your hand. Remember, there's a Rolodex of plays that the players have offensively that we just do throughout the whole year. And then we kind of tweak those plays to fit what we need for the next game plan, right? It's those plays, but there may be caveats to those plays that kind of make it successful week by week, right? So, but we just would do our base game plan. You know what I loved about it, though, is that when you play Thursday night, you barely practice.
Yeah.
I love that part of it. Like, you have walkthroughs the entire week. Like, you may have one practice where you're going hard. Like, not even hard. It's basically a walkthrough for them. And usually on those games, we kick butt because we were so fresh because we just was resting the whole week. You just had this what you out there doing on Monday, Tuesday after when you got a Thursday night game. You walk down the field and you start pointing like, like I would be doing this. Let them know that you know what you're doing. I'll be out there like this. I got an in route. Just point to where you're supposed to be. Make sure everybody know where you know what you're doing.
That's it. Yeah, well, we used to say 10-10-10 is my friend.
Yeah, 10-10-10 was great.
So for those that know, we use for our shortened practices, we call them 10-10-10 practices. It was 10 plays offense, 10 plays defense, and it was usually a walkthrough. And then it was 10 plays, then you flip it, and then you had one. It was like 10 plays of special teams, whichever they wanted to run. And then you had your finished up with the defensive or offense practice. So that part was nice. I forgot about the 10-10-10.
Well, 10-10-10 was just as hard as regular practice for receivers. We still run,
man.
We still run it. And you got all 10 plays in a row because you got 10-10-10. The starters get all 10 of them. So we're playing another young quarterback, Davis Mills.
Yeah.
A team that's 1-5-1. Lovie Smith doing a horrible job, like he did in Illinois. I shouldn't have said that. All right.
Oh, man. Tell them how you really feel. No, but he is. He's doing a horrible job. But their roster is.
Their roster is not the best.
What O'Brien did to that roster before he got out of there.
Yeah, it's been a couple of them. How do you think we match up with this team? I think it's just a easy one for us. Like, and let's get the let's look at it. So you got
Davis Mills,
who's 3-14-1, I believe, in his career as a starter. You got Damian Pierce as a running back. You got Brandon. Philip Dorsett as one of the receivers. You got Brandon Cooks as one of the receivers.
Nico, you're a Michigan guy.
Yeah, they got Nico, and Nico Collins. They're missing a receiver that's hurt, Mechie from Alabama. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? So the thing that they do have, they have Stingley Jr., which I love. But guess who else they have, you guys? Steven Nelson, baby.
I did not know he was there. Oh, my God.
Even though he got a pick last week. I was watching the film. He got a pick. And it was a nice pick, too, Q.
Yeah.
It was an in-breaker. Yeah, it was an in-breaker. The quarterback was late. Was later than ever. So it was like one of those bad quarterback moments. But, yeah, he picked it, though, and it was clean. It was clean. No bobble. It was nice. Got a little return. Everything. But guess what? Match him up on A.J. Brown if you want to.
It's over.
But they're going to put Stingley on them when they go man-to-man. They got to. Because Stingley is nice. That boy transitions extremely well.
That's probably the thing I'm going to be watching, the matchup I want to see the most is how
– man.
Yeah. I want to see how Stingley does. Because we both really like him coming out, man.
I saw a play this past week where he turned his back. It was a speed turn. When I say this speed turn was efficient, Q, efficient. Zero waste of move. He might as well just plant and broke on it. It was like a comeback. End up getting in on the play. It was efficient. It was efficient. I was like, doggone, it was efficient. But yeah. The kid is a good player. The kid is a good player. I'm like, man, you're gonna waste away a lot of years in Houston.
Oof.
Shoot, but yeah, trade for him.
That'd be nice. They ain't gonna give him up.
Nah, they're not giving him up. He's a cornerstone piece. But yeah, I think. Tell me what you think about this team.
I mean, honestly, I haven't watched a whole lot of them. I wasn't high on Davis Mills coming out.
Yeah,
out of Stanford. I always kind of thought he was an okay guy. Brandon Cooks at the end of his career, he's disgruntled a little bit down there. I think the Eagles are going to win this easily.
The thing that they do have is speed. They do have team speed with their receivers. Dorsett is a blazer. Brandon Cooks has always been a blazer. Yeah. He's hit or miss when it comes to catching in critical situations. That's why he hadn't been able to stick to one team is because when a game's on the line, he's not always dependable.
Yeah. I don't see this. Go ahead. I don't cut you off.
Oh yeah, and Dameon Pierce is a good running back, and we don't have Jordan Davis, so they're going to try to run the ball on us because they can't depend on the quarterback. So, with that being said, I don't see this as being the Eagles have to play extremely bad on both sides of the ball and give up something on special. Like, you have to play like historically bad to lose to the Saints. I'm just saying, like, just from a matchup standpoint, and I'm not trying to, you know, just discredit an NFL team. But what I'm saying is that you got to be extremely bad to lose to this team. I'm talking about 3-4 turnovers bad.
Yeah,
like 3-4 turnovers bad, and they come out and play really, really good. Even 3-4 turnovers against this team, you're still going to be in the game.
Absolutely.
So they have to be playing really well too.
And to me too, like, the key, especially now, he's still young, but the game plan, like, let's say they keep the same defensive game plan as they had last week, which I thought was very smart. You know, rookie, young quarterback, can't really read defenses. They changed up a few things, played a lot of coverage, played smart in their zones, and let the front four get after it, and they did.
Yeah.
And coming in on a short week is going to be kind of the same game plan, I would think, against this team. Got a young quarterback, some banged up receivers, running game is so-so. You know, let that front four get after it. And, you know, I agree with you. Jordan Davis being out is going to hurt. But, again, I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue.
Too much of an issue. Now, last thing with this is Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith and his cover two defense, right? So, they're not playing as much as cover two as the Bears did. Just they don't have the personnel. But it's still an integral part of the defense. It's hard to play cover two when you're losing by a bunch all the time. Cover two is one of those defenses that you can rest in and be good in if you're playing with the lead, if you don't need turnovers, that type of thing, right? When you're down and you're trying to claw your way back, you start to tend to play a lot more man and a lot more, you know, fire zones and things of that nature in order to create pressure and havoc. So this is not the traditional Lovie Smith cover two defense. Remember, the Lovie Smith cover two defense, there were multiple Pro Bowlers on that team. There are a Hall of Famer on that defense and Brian Urlacher, right? Yeah. And you had people that can rush the passer consistently. The Texans does not rush the passer really well. They don't have great linebackers. They do have good secondary players, but no Peanut Tillman is going to get the ball back like that, right? And you don't have a Mike Brown. You're like, there's a bunch of things that you don't have with this defense that you have with the – you don't have Brian Urlacher, which is 6'4", and that can run like a deer. So this is not the same cover two defense. It may make us patient as the Eagles offense. It may make us patient where we can't get down the field like we want to, but that's never stopped us because we can run the football. And our defense is going to stop Davis Mills from scoring 21 points, and I think our team can score 21 points. Yep. So that's it.
Eagles run away with it.
Eagle run away with it. All right, let's get into some of the questions, Q.
Okay.
Before we get into one of the questions, make sure that you come out to Launch Trampoline Park in Deffen, New Jersey. I'm there all the time. Make sure you bring your kids. Have a birthday party with us. We do laser tag. We do Ninja Warrior. We do slam ball. We do rock climbing, laser tag. I said that. Arcades, pizza. We just put in two new attractions, slam ball and something that's called Valo Jump, where we take a picture of your child. Put your child inside the video game and they are jumping on the trampolines while looking at themselves inside the video game. Q told me about this a few years ago and I listened to him. This is a true story. And come out to Launch Trampoline Park and make sure that you are having a good time with us at Launch Trampoline.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, let's get to these last few questions. These are the questions that are submitted by inside through insidethebirds@gmail.com. So if you want your questions to show up on the Q&A show, make sure that you submit your questions to insidethebirds@gmail.com. Go ahead, Q.
All right. So this one's from Steve A. with Howie Roseman going all out to make another run for the Lombardi Trophy, Do you think he and Jeffrey Lurie are considering bringing Nick Foles back as a better insurance policy should Jalen Hurts get hurt? Jason, you once said the two best QB leaders in Eagles histories were Nick and Jalen. What do you think about that?
Of my era, for sure, of my time. But no. I just don't. I think that time is past, and I think all of us like to live in nostalgia. Nick is that girlfriend that treated you right, and there's always a thought in my mind, man, why that didn't work out? You know what I mean? And man, it was a great time. We had some good moments. I should have did this, you know. You got to let it go, man. Move on with your life. We got to let it go. Move on. Keep it moving. I think Gardner Minshew is an excellent backup quarterback. Excellent. I think Gardner Minshew can win games in this league tomorrow if you plug them in. I'm not saying that we'll be undefeated, but we still will have a winning record with Gardner Minshew right now. So I think that he's adequate backup. I think we got to let Nick ride off in the sunset with his statue and let him live rent free in our minds for the rest of his career and not mess it up.
Well said. That's spot on, man. You're absolutely right, though. It's like, it is like that.
And we can't handle it.
I want that old thing back.
Yeah. And we can't handle it. Let Jalen Hurts throw a bad pass.
Oh, man.
You know, and we can't handle it. So yeah. So know what you can handle. Like, you know, the old thing may be, you know, sweet to the mind, but you got to remember why you let it go.
There it is. I got nothing to add to that. That was perfect.
Ah, right, yeah. You better not add to it. You married.
Get me in trouble, man.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. I ain't do it, sure. Yeah, I ain't.
All right. Here's another one for you. This is from, I can't pronounce that, Dashiel H. Sorry if I butchered your name, Dashiel. Jason Avant, you mentioned briefly the difficulty coming off the bench or playing games with a few targets. What holds the wide receiver room together when they're competing for targets? How, if at all, did playing with an outspoken superstar like DeSean Jackson impact your game? And how productive do you think Quez Watkins could be on a team if he had a quarterback who consistently targeted when he was open? Ooh, that's actually...
It's a lot of questions.
It's a lot.
But you got your money's worth. We're going to answer them for you. All right, so coming off the bench is extremely hard. In any position, whether it's safety, Q've gone through this. Q has been one of the best special teams players in the league. A lot of y'all don't know this. Q was consistently, when he was predominantly special teams, one of the best and could have been considered for the Pro Bowl each year when Q was on special teams predominantly. And when you get that call to go up on defense to start playing defense, when you're normally a special teamer and you're not like warmed up for it, you're not ready for it, it's tough. It's tough mentally to get in there and be like, hey, go out there and cover Larry Fitzgerald. Hey, go out there and do this. Go cover this tight end. Go cover Jeremy Shockey this play. Like, yo, bro. Because you are in sub packages, because that's what they do. You may be in this sub package, right? You're not with the number one offense, but if they go dime, I'm in the game. And it's tough to have a feel and to be warm and to see things. It's tough to do that. So from a receiver perspective, the same. The receiver perspective may be a little bit harder because they got to throw you the ball. and like, you just came off the bench. You ain't warm, really. Like, you playing, sort of. You know, you running people off and like you already pissed off. Like, yo, like, I'm always open. Like, I don't know what they looking at. My mama told me I was a star. Like, but y'all not treat me like my mama would treat me right now. Right. You know what I mean? I'm gonna take my ball and go home. Right. So that's the stuff that's going through your mind in these moments. That's human nature. So you have to literally fight against your natural nature in order to buy into the team each play, each quarter, each time. Right. And not be selfish. The hardest part is that is that you got the kids that didn't have parents, good parents, I mean, they're selfish. So
and it's usually the receivers, the receiving core.
Let me stop. So you have multiple people that have been trained, and it was my coach at Michigan, both my coaches at Michigan, that taught me, like, listen, you can create value outside of catching a ball. A receiver can control how much he shows up on tape open. You can't control if the quarterback gets you the ball, so don't stress out if you're not getting the ball. You just can't, because there's a lot more game to be played. The ball comes to you when it wants to come to you. And then there's other dudes that wasn't trained like that. It's like, give me the ball. So you're being selfless. And then there's other dudes that's being selfish. And sometimes the dude that's being the loudest, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You're trying to be a team player. And then this first other person is like, yo, I want the ball. And they're like, okay. I'm like, bro, now you want me to act the ass so I can get the ball? Like, or should you do the right thing?
I swear, it's a no-win situation with the receivers, man. It's like, oh my God, I couldn't do it, man. I cannot be a receiver.
It's tough. Like, listen to me. You got to snap on the coach at some point as a receiver. There ain't no other way. I'm just telling you, there ain't no other way. I'm a team player, but look, I've gone off before.
But the coach, he ain't the one out there throwing, though.
Yes, he is, because the coach is the one that can get your number called. You know your quarterback is only can read one person. Make me that one person.
Oh, man.
So, yes, do you have a better opportunity if your quarterback can read more than one? And that's why when we're talking about this stuff, reading one, two, and three is so important, because if your quarterback is able to see more of the field, now he's able to get more opportunities to guys. He's able to be able to get the opportunity that would be missed normally with a guy that has limited vision, but he has more vision. He has a better understanding of the game. He's getting the ball to the right people at the right time, and he's allowing everybody to eat because his vast knowledge and his experience. That's what you see from the good ones. You've seen, you know, Ben Roethlisberger get Emmanuel Sanders and Nate Washington paid, though he had Antonio Brown, though he had Mike Wallace, right? You see all of this stuff happening in conjunction. You see Kurt Warner get Steve Breston and Anquan Boldin and Larry Frazier. All of them have 1,000 yards in one season, right? Three receivers with over 1,000 yards, right?
That was crazy.
So when you consider, like, all of these things, you know, Aaron Rodgers getting James Jones paid money. What? James Jones got a contract, nice contract, messing around. Boy, that boy couldn't catch a beach ball. Like, you know what I mean?
A beach ball.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, he had trouble catching the ball.
Yeah.
But the quarterback giving guys opportunities. Let me go on with this, because that was comedy.
That was awesome.
All so right. when you have guys that are outspoken, Deshaun was outspoken at times. The thing about Deshaun, though, is that we knew that he should get the ball. He went wrong. So you got to take it and understand where you are. Like, and this is the thing that I love about a person that's not so egotistical that they can't see the whole picture. You can have ego, mm-hmm. but it got to be proportionate. You can't have a big ego and you have, you know, a four-cylinder engine. Like,
case in point, Chase Claypool. right? Yeah. He said he's one of the top three. He said he's one of the top three receivers in the league.
Yeah, man, if you don't stop, boy, the Bears got fleeced by giving up a second round pick. Man, they took care of, boy, the Steelers out there stealing. You don't stop it.
Oh my God.
So what I'm saying is that if you are a player that has the goods, you can have a big ego and be outspoken. If you have a limited production, a big ego, you're gonna be out of the league.
That's it.
It's just how it is, right? That's just how it is. So you have to be able to know where you fit in on that totem pole. Like, you gotta know. So you can have a little bravado, a little ego, but don't let it be too much if you ain't getting production. Have some confidence, but don't let it go too far. Know your place. That's just the way the league is. And we know that Deshaun should get the ball. If there's a screen pass and the screen's to me and he next to me, man, take the screen pass. I want to win too. I'm going to get you 12 yards. He may get you 60. I get you first down. He's going to get you a touchdown. So I got to eat that and be like, yo, God just didn't bless me with that speed. Now, if you want the game on the line and you want to throw to me or Deshaun, I'm going to be pissed if they throw the ball to Deshaun. Like, hey, yo, what you doing? I'm going to be mad. Like, that's just it. And he'll tell you the same. And the real, Deshaun will tell them, hey, yo, it's fourth down. Throw the ball, Jason.
Okay.
Oh, it's raining. Throw the ball, Jason. Like, oh, it's like, you know what I mean? Whatever it may be. This critical situation. Hey, throw the ball to him. That's just the way it was. But I ain't about to say, hey, man, throw me the ball on deep route. Like, yeah. That boy gonna be incomplete messing around with me. All right. What else
we got? That's basically know your personnel, right?
Yeah, KYP, man. Know your personnel. Oh, last thing about that question. Quez Watkins, can he do more at a different team? Yes. Yes. Quez is primed and ready for a breakout season. It's just that he's not going to get the production here because of the lack of targets. The man has 10 targets in 7 games. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Now, I would be pissed about that.
Saying he needed to start talking to the.
You can't do it when you're winning. You got to lose the game. Lose one of them games. Hey, man, the reason we losing, y'all ain't giving me the ball. Wait till you lose, Quez, then you hit him with that one.
The blueprint.
Can't say it when you're winning because you look selfish. As soon as you lose one, it's like, oh man, I'll tell you what the reason is. I knew it was gonna happen. I've been smelling it because this ain't right.
Man, y'all receivers, boy. I can only imagine. Right.
I'm gonna ask you this last question. All right. Question from Robert C. Do players get especially motivated before a game when they're facing an opponent that they may be able to dominate and pad their stats? I think you've been playing a little bit too much.
Madden.
Yeah, Madden. Go ahead.
I was, as a defender, I used to get excited when we were playing a young quarterback, like a rookie.
Oh, he's telling the truth.
But not for padding stats. We just knew he was going to get some mistake. Like, he's going to throw some overthrown balls. He's going to, you know, try to thread one in there. So we just had that. Okay, it's time to eat. Once we handle business early in the game, we get a lead. Offense doing their thing. They're going to start throwing that ball and chucking it up. You got that young quarterback. We're going to get us some easy picks. So for me, it wasn't necessarily that we're just playing. Like, I wasn't excited about playing a bad team. I was excited about playing a young quarterback.
You sound like you're excited to pad them stats too, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, no, offensively, I never had a pad the stat mentality. I should have had. I regret that I didn't. But no, like,
Me tell me you wasn't ever excited when you like you knew they had like a bum at corner or nickel, you knew you were gonna work it.
I was always at the mercy of what the quarterback can see. Right? Because I was never like only on third downs was I ever the number one target, and that's a limited route. So why would I be stressing myself out, you know, with man, yo, I'm open. Like there's many game plans where I'm literally saying to myself, like, I have the best matchup this week. I'm talking about, and I'm not looking at it. I think I always have the best matchup, but just like realistically looking at it, like, yo, Darrell Revis is playing, Antonio Cromartie's playing, and then you got the nickel. Like, me and Selleck should get the ball. It just makes sense. Why go at those two dudes when you got Buster Screen or somebody like that sticking me? Like,
yeah,
why? But I can't control if they give me the ball or not. If they say, that's the way I think. I'm like, yo, you know, you have Patrick Peterson and you have this dude covering Jeremy, but you got, you know, little sisters of the Mary covering me, and some like the game plan should go through us, you know? So I couldn't get excited over if the team was bad, cause I couldn't control if I was gonna get the ball at all. Cause I thought I was gonna get the ball a few times early in my career, but it ain't work like that. I was like, I can't have my expectations up like that. Cause that's how you get frustrated, you get mad. You know what I mean? You be around here talk, you know, doing a belt when you catch a ball. You be doing all that type of stuff. Get you out of here. You know what I mean? I love my man Freddie. But that's really? Like that gets you out, that stuff is cool. It's cool for ESPN, but you be out of a job doing that. Like, you know what I mean?
Real quick. Fred, that dude was funny, man.
Yeah, he said he's still funny. I love that dude.
Y'all receivers, y'all all crazy. See, that's the thing. All y'all crazy. All y'all.
All of us got a little bravado. Look, man, two things in receivers though. We know we smooth and we know we look good. Yes. All right, that'll do it for the Q&A show.
Y'all crazy, man.
Hey, you see how the DBs hate on you? You see how they hate on us?
I mean, just tell them.
We could be better athletes than them.
Whoa. Easy now. Let's not go down that road.
I'm messing up.
We got to run backwards, forwards, tackle, cover tight ends, receivers. It's hard, man. You got to be athletic to be a DB.
Oh, I know it.
Anybody can run forward and catch a slant. I used to get so mad when y'all do that. You get a first down. Dude gets shut down the whole game. He get one slant for a first down. Get out of here, man.
Hey, you know, this is funny. We got to wrap this up. But you know what's funny is that players nowadays have no concept of winning and losing. You would get cursed out by doing anything theatrical when you were losing when we played. Dude, I'll be seeing dudes down 35 points still. I mean, like, man, you're losing by 35, man. Like, where y'all come from? Like, what are you doing? I see it everywhere, college, high school, pro. See a lot of football games. It's crazy. All right, you guys, we got to get off this. Get off my phone, Q. This is the Q&A podcast. We always have a great time. Think we're going to get done in 35 minutes, but end up more. But make sure that you send your questions to insidethebirds@gmail.com. Thank you to everyone, to Tyler, to Adam and Jeff and Josh. Everyone that's responsible for Inside the Birds, at Inside the Birds for the Q&A show. Thank you guys for all that you do for us and all the fans that are tuning in. Thank you guys and see you next week. Let's be 8-0, baby. Go Birds. Q.
Let's go. That's it, baby. Good night.